Excellent. All right, everyone. Thank you very much. Welcome to the City Council special meeting for Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Storton?
Here.
Councilmember Parling?
Here.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
Here.
Mayor Ray Ressam?
Here. Would you please silently follow along with me as I recite the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm going to go ahead and skip number four and go to number five and then go back to number four. So can we have the city attorney announce the closed session items tonight, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The City Council will recess to closed session for a conference with real property negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. The property is Hardin Street at North Mason Street. The agency negotiators are Whitney McDonald, City Manager, and Bill Robeson, Assistant City Manager and Public Works Director. The negotiating party is Ty Green on behalf of Alex Carapetti and Christiane Schmidt Carapetti. The second item is also a conference with real property negotiators. The property is 202 LaPointe Street. The agency negotiators are the same, and the negotiating parties are Jenna Simmons and Chad Jackson. Under negotiation is a lease renewal. Thank you.
All right. Now that we've announced those, let's go ahead and open up public comment on the closed session items, and I'll check in with City Clerk Mattson to see if there's anyone here to make public comment.
There are no attendees, no call-ins, and also no written public comment.
All right, so I'll close public comment and we will adjourn to closed session. We will reconvene at open session at our regular time at 6 p.m. So we'll see the City Council in our alternate Zoom in just a moment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome to the City Council meeting for Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Storton.
Here.
Councilmember Paulding.
Here.
Councilmember Barnidge.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem George.
Here.
Mayor Ray Ressam.
Here. Would you please silently join me in a moment of reflection? Thank you. This evening, we have the Arroyo Grande Knights of Columbus, Council 1375, and Martin Wilder to lead us in the flag salute.
Martin is being promoted as we speak. He should pop up here soon. All right, Mayor, it looks like maybe he fell off. I don't see him here anymore.
All right, then I'll go ahead and lead the pledge and hopefully, oh, there he is.
Hey, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes. Hey, Mark. Flag salute. I tuned out for a second.
Okay.
I take it we're on that agenda. Hi, my name is Martin Wilder.
Mr. Wilder, you're leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening.
Great. When it switched me over, I kind of lost track where we were. With me, I have John Durant, who is our assistant. He's the Deputy Grand Knight for Knights of Columbus of St. Patrick's, Rio Grande. And he is a retired San Luis Obispo High School football coach, retired Marine Corps reservist. I was going to ask him to lead us in the salute, and then I'll give you a little report on our activities, if that's okay.
That's great. Welcome, Mr. Durant.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, very good. Thank you. This whole thing is kind of new to me, so I wanted to make sure I was being heard. All right, well, I'll be beginning the pledge. And would you please join me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, public for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. I hope I got it all. He's practicing.
Hi. Well, Mayor Ressam, if I could interject quickly, some of our activities. We're proud to be on the sign outside the village there with as a community entity. Short summary of our activities that might be more usual to the city might include our Breakfast with Santa, which we just did December 11th with Lindsay Overstreet, a member of your Parks and Rec department at the Tar Springs Ranch, where we put on a breakfast. In the city limits, we've been cleaning up the St. Patrick Cemetery, working on the gate, trying to improve that, working with Rio Grande Beautiful as well. Highway cleanup out in front of Letitia Vineyards, 2 miles each way, northbound, southbound. Other things we do support include Habitat for Humanity, outreach, which works with the food banks and other food support services, Special Olympics, and we also support a seminarian and participate with other religious activities at St. Patrick's Church.
Thank you for all that you do. I just have one small question. When are you bringing back your poker tournament?
Oh, that's supposed to be in June. That's a great question. Yeah, we didn't have it last year. We're looking forward to having it this year.
Excellent. Again, thank you. And the Knights of Columbus, please send everyone our best, and we'll look forward to having you back another time to tell us more about what you do.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Ressam. And if I may, hi, Keith.
Hey, hi, Marty. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
All right, everyone. That takes us to the agenda review. Does anybody have any reason to move anything around this evening? Okay, so we will proceed as published. Item 5A for closed session announcements. I'll turn it over to City Attorney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The City Council just returned from a closed session for a conference with real property negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. The properties are Hardin Street at North Mason Street and 202 LaPointe Street. There's no reportable action.
All right, thank you very much. And item 5B, we have no ordinances, so we'll skip that one. This takes us straight to special presentations, where we have our regular update regarding countywide COVID-19 efforts. And I'll turn it over to City Manager McDonald.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. There are a number of things going on related to COVID. I'm sure everybody here and who are watching and listening at any point in time in the next, week or two are experiencing those as well personally, because the pandemic has very much kicked into high gear. I can tell you that our city operations have been affected, meaning we do have a number of staff out either with positive cases or who are quarantining because of exposures. I'm sure everybody is aware, it's highly related to the Omicron variant, which is very transmissible. So given that school just resumed for our local school district, I'm anticipating we may get more cases coming through with our own city staff. And so I just hope we're responding as we can and are required to, and trying to take care of our staff and our people, while at the same time continuing to keep our facilities open. So our city hall is still open. All of our facilities are open to the public for walk-ins. We are, however, trying to limit meetings that we hold with people in person. So we are conducting pretty much all of our meetings with other people by Zoom remotely, including with even our internal city staff, as well as any outside groups or members of the public. Hopefully we'll be able to resume, just meeting in person again at some point. But for the time being, we are trying to limit that exposure. Hopefully people can kind of understand that we may end up, members of the public might end up experiencing some level of delay in responses, depending on the issue, because we do have staff who are out sick or who are home quarantining. I know everybody is kind of experiencing this kind of around our community. We haven't been spared from that. So I also wanted to mention there's adding to the process has been changing rules that we're all experiencing coming from the state and the county and the CDC. And one of the biggest changes that I just wanted to highlight for everyone is essentially what is considered to be fully vaccinated has changed to take into consideration booster shots. So if somebody is eligible for a booster but has not received it, we now have to treat those employees as essentially not fully vaccinated. And the rules about quarantining after an exposure vary depending on whether somebody is considered fully vaccinated or not. So just wanted to highlight that for everyone, because it wasn't clear until, last week that somebody's booster status really changed the way that they are treated as either fully vaccinated or not. And then I finally just wanted to share, because given all the confusion and kind of different rules and interpretations that we've been seeing, I found, and I think internally with our staff, we found that the county's information is the, from our experience, the best place to go to find what do you do if you've been exposed to COVID or test positive. So I thought I would go ahead and share my screen. One benefit of being on Zoom is being able to just show everybody. The county's website has changed a little bit. If you go to readyslow.org, you can eventually get here. They kind of redirected you from readyslow.org. And there are instructions here for when and how to quarantine and isolate. Isolation applies when you've tested positive for COVID-19. Quarantine applies if you have been exposed to a positive case. And again, the rules for quarantining differ depending on whether somebody is fully vaccinated. And so the way that they've laid out what to do in the county's website, I think, is really helpful, because I know a lot of us are kind of trying to figure out what do we do now that we've either been exposed or have someone in our household, as an example, who might have tested positive. So the website up here, the address is slowcounty.ca.gov/COVID-19/more/quarantine-isolation. That's not exactly the best thing or easiest. It's not quite as catchy to get to it. But if you follow the readyslow.org trail through the COVID-19 process, you will be able to get here. And so I would just highly recommend that anybody facing either an exposure or a positive test start there. In addition, the county health officer has issued its own order. So the health officer has issued her own order, making it clear that if somebody does test positive using any form of test, either an at-home test or a PCR test, you are required to isolate and not wait to get a letter or instructions directly from the health officer. It's taking them some time. They aren't sending those out as a matter of course necessarily with every single case, I believe. They will send out a letter if you need it for an employer, as an example, but the health officer wanted to make it clear that we are all obligated to isolate if you've tested positive, even if that is using an at-home test. And we're not supposed to wait to get those instructions. So not a lot of super great news on that level, but just wanted to highlight some of those things that both we're working with, you know, within our organization, and then some resources for folks to try to get clear direction from the county. So with that, that's all I have on COVID-19.
Let's check in with the council and see if anyone has questions. Councilmember Paulding?
No questions. I just really appreciate you pointing out those new health guidelines on the county's website. Thank you.
Councilmember Burnage? Councilmember Storton?
Thank you, Whitney. I have no questions.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
I have no questions except to say that I know I've just heard from a lot of people. It's just very frustrating because it's so confusing and there's a lot of misinformation out there as far as what tests to take, when to take. So I appreciate the update, Whitney, and hopefully that'll help answer some questions and we can start giving people some peace of mind as best we can.
I have a question. Whitney, do we have, I haven't looked, on our website landing page, a link that will take people to that that might help them out. So as you said, it's a little Byzantine getting to the spot at ReadySlow, that if we just say, hey, want information about quarantining, we can put a link right there.
That is a great idea. I'm almost certain we don't have that button on there right now, but I think we can probably do that quite easily. And I see our city clerk popping on because she'll be able to help us take care of that.
Sure. We have a spotlight right now for COVID, but we don't have a direct link to what Whitney just mentioned. However, as you were speaking about that, I did send a message to our deputy city clerk to see if we could get a direct link to that information up pretty quickly.
So we Excellent. Will. Thank you. Thank you. Because I know it's confusing because being in a school, it's even more confusing because the rules are different if you're in a school. So it's a mess. So anything we can do to help people get that straight is going to be appreciated, I'm sure.
Mayor, could I say one thing, please, real quick? Thank you. I just wanted to mention, I know that Whitney mentioned that our city employees are impacted, and I just hope that people realize that our city employees, although are trying to provide great services to our community, they too have families, are dealing with similar circumstances that a lot of our families are dealing with. So just ask that people be a little more patient and considerate as we move forward, continue and try to do the best job we can and our city employees can, but also understand we're all in a similar predicament and be patient with one another. Thank you.
Wise words. So with that, let's go ahead and open up public comment. I'll turn it over to AGP.
Good evening, everyone. If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. I don't see anybody raising their hand. I think, Madam Chair, we do not have any public comment.
All right. And City Clerk Mattson, any written correspondence received?
There are none.
All right. So we'll close public comment and move on to the City Manager's Report. This is item 6B.
Thank you very much. I just have a couple of things to highlight. One is I'm sure after the really wonderful storms that we experienced during the holidays, folks are probably wondering what's going on with our water shortage emergency declaration. And I wanted to just highlight that, yes, those storms were definitely helpful. And I think our Lopez Reservoir did see an increase in the water levels. However, it didn't quite reach the 15,000 acre foot level. And under our ordinance, that 15,000 acre foot level is really a trigger to send us into a potential stage one declaration. So unfortunately, we really aren't there yet in getting out of that declaration. We are looking toward really getting above the 20,000 acre foot level. We're still under the same restrictions that the county has imposed through the low reservoir response plan. And so I just wanted to mention, while we are glad and hopefully we will have more at some point, we're not quite there yet to being able to lift those restrictions. We have had a number of applications for adjustments to baseline letters. And I just wanted to kind of plug that process as well for anybody who is looking at their baseline letter and is concerned about changes that might have been experienced in their household over the past year. So for instance, if you added people to your house who maybe didn't live there in 2020, and you need to make an adjustment to account for additional people living in your household, let us know. And that's just one example of a change that you might have experienced that we take into consideration to make adjustments. So give us a call or send us a letter or an email and we'll get back to you. And so just wanted to make sure everyone was aware that that process is still available. And then just to kind of give a preview of items that will be coming forward for City Council consideration in the next couple of months. And this isn't for, you know, by any means an exhaustive list, but just wanted to let everybody know that these will be coming forward at some point. The Central Coast Blue Project will be coming back with a proposed cost-sharing agreement among the three cities. We do anticipate bringing our accessory dwelling unit ordinance forward, as well as a vacation rental ordinance discussion with council. We will be discussing infrastructure financing with really a look at our streets and how we might be able to best go about funding needed improvements to our streets and maintenance over time. We will have our first districting hearing as well. So our maps, we're asking everybody to submit maps by February 4th, and we anticipate our first hearing being our second meeting in February, which I believe is the 22nd. And those are just a few items that I just thought I'd go ahead and highlight and let people know they will be coming up in the next, in January and February. So with that, that's it from me for this evening.
Thank you. Let's check in with the council and see if anybody has questions. Councilmember Storton?
Whitney, do you know how many maps have been submitted so far?
I do not have a tally, but perhaps City Clerk Mattson does.
We have 120.
Great. Thank you.
Councilmember Barnage?
Whitney, how would someone apply for a baseline adjustment? You said send an email. There's no, if do you have to go on the website, is there a link, or how do they do that?
That's actually a good point. I think we do have a form available, and I will double check. I'm almost certain that it's available online, but I will double check that. There is a form. Oh,
okay.
Our Administrative Services Director, Valentine, has popped on, and it is available online, the form?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Yes, so no one has to come in person if they don't want to. They can fill it out online and email it to us.
Okay, and Nicole, can you just kind of give me an idea of where that, is it under utilities, and then they go there, and then you don't have to give me the whole rundown, but just somewhat where it is?
Yeah, there's a couple places you can find it. You can find it under Public Works or Administration with Utilities.
Okay. And it says baseline, apply for a baseline adjustment. It's pretty clear.
It does. Yes.
Okay. Cause Shane, I was talking to Shane about it, and he just said, tell him to send me an email. And I thought, well, I don't know if that's the, he's so sweet, always trying to be helpful, but I didn't know if that was the preferred way to apply for those. So, okay. Thank you for that.
You bet.
Is that it? Okay, Councilmember Paulding?
No questions for staff, but I appreciate the report. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
No questions, except I would say just use the search bar on the website. Then there's no drilling down anything. Just type in baseline adjustment and the form will pop up.
All right, and I have no questions, so let's go ahead and open up public comment. AGP?
Yes, Madam Chair. If you'd like to speak on public comment on this item, please raise your hand. And Madam Chair, I do not see anybody raising their hand.
And City Clerk Mattson, any written correspondence received?
We have none.
All right, so we'll close item six and move on to item seven. Item seven is our community comments. This is the chance for the community to come to the council on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Go ahead and speak for up to 3 minutes and please address the council as one body. Again, I turn it over to AGP.
Good evening, everyone. If you'd like to speak on public comment, general public comment, please raise your hand. And Madam Chair, I don't see anybody raising their hand.
Thank you. City Clerk Mattson, any written correspondence received?
We have none.
All right, so I'll close public comment and move on to item eight. This is our consent agenda, and tonight we have a short one. This is inclusive of items 8A through 8E. So let me check in with the council and see if they would like to have questions or pull something for separate consideration. Councilmember Barnage? Councilmember Paulding?
No, thank you.
Councilmember Storton? Mayor Pro Tem George?
No, thank you.
Nor do I. So let's go ahead and open up public comment and see if anyone would like to comment or ask questions about any item on the consent agenda. This would be items 8A through 8E. AGP?
Sorry, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. If you'd like to speak on public comment, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, I don't see anybody raising their hand. The floor is yours.
Thank you. City Clerk Mattson, any written correspondence received on the consent agenda?
We have none.
All right, then I'll close public comment on item 8 and bring it back to the council for commentary and possible consideration or motion. Does anyone have a motion they'd like to make?
I will move approval of consent agenda items 8A through 8E.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All right, City Clerk Mattson, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Thornton?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
Yes.
Mayor Bay Ressam?
Yes. Items 9, we have none tonight. So this takes us to item 10A under old business. This is consideration of approval of water and wastewater rate study and setting public hearing in compliance with Proposition 218. So I will turn it over to, it says Robeson, but I see Nicole Valentine. So whomever.
Good evening, Council and Mayor and all of the public. Thank you for having us tonight and Happy New Year. I am going to give the floor over to Clayton Tuckfield as soon as he is elevated to a panelist for a presentation on the water and wastewater rate study. I will begin sharing my screen. And Clayton, you have the floor whenever you're ready.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be able to make this final presentation tonight. As you recall, on December 14th, I presented the draft results of our rate study. Tonight, I'm going to present the final report, and it'll be somewhat abbreviated compared to what we presented in December 14th. So, Nicole, next slide, please. So water revenue increases are needed. This is one of the major findings of the report. The city's costs continue to increase, the operation and maintenance expenses, Lopez water supply costs continue to increase. The city has a 10-year capital improvement spending plan, and so we need to provide revenue to be able to make those capital investments in infrastructure. And additionally, we have the Central Coast Blue Project, which will be coming online in fiscal year 23-24. And so there's some additional operation and maintenance expenses there, as well as some debt payments that will be made by the city. Now, also, we have planning criteria, meaning that we want to keep a certain amount of cash on hand in the water fund. And we have to also maintain what's called a coverage ratio requirement. So whenever we have debt service payments being made, we have to make sure we have sufficient revenue to be able to make O&M times 1.25. of debt service coverage. So there's some requirements there. So this is really what's driving the need for the rate increases. Next slide, please. I put this slide up because I think it's important to note that back in 2013-14, the city was using about 3,500 acre feet of water annually. And then as we progressed through the years down to 16-17, there's significant reduction in water sales to the city, which essentially means you're not collecting as much revenue as you would have had you had higher water sales. Now, this is partly, mostly due to the state request to reduce water consumption. However, that impact of that is lower revenue to the city. So this table and chart is just to illustrate that fact for the city council. And next slide, please. So these are the proposed water rates from the study. On the left-hand side, you'll see the monthly fixed charges. So the bright blue column represents what the current rate is. And then as we proceed through the years, you'll move to the right and see the additional increase in the fixed charges depending upon meter size. On the right-hand side, you'll see the bi-monthly variable charges. The blue column represents what the rates are now. And that we are making a change here in the variable rate structure. So for example, single family and multifamily will now become the same rate structure in that they'll have three tiers, the same tiers. Tier one is 0 to 1,000 cubic feet bi-monthly. Tier two is 11 to 2,200 cubic feet bi-monthly, and then an over 22. The other classes, which are shown at the bottom of that right-hand side, that rate structure stays the same. It's just that they increase as we move forward through the financial plan. Next slide. So here's the impact to the bills. For the average single-family customer in the city of Rio Grande, their bill will increase $4.25 a month over the current bill. So that table that's right below that gives you some different consumption levels, but the average for the city for single-family is 19, and I've highlighted that there by the orange rectangle. So just following across, you'll see that's an $8.51 increase every 2 months, but it's a $4.25 increase for every month. And then below that, to give you a comparison, whether or not we had Central Coast Blue or did not have Central Coast Blue, the point there would be that you'll pay $1.14 a month more for the first year with Central Coast Blue than if you did not have it. Next slide, please. This slide gives you a comparison then of what that average bill is with other water purveyors in the area that we surveyed. So this shows that the city of Rio Grande's water bill, by monthly bill, is still on the lower 25%, let's say, of the other entities that we've surveyed. So we think that these bills are still very reasonable for the public. Next slide. For our wastewater revenue, we also need to make adjustments here as well. Now, obviously to note is that wastewater rates have not increased since 2009. Even with the last rate study, they did not increase. So it's been a number of years before we really done anything with the wastewater side. Now, in a similar as to the water entity, we have increasing city O&M expenses, and we also have a capital improvement plan spending. We also have the same planning criteria. And it's of note here that the city has its wastewater treated by the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. So these are fixed charges that the district levels to the city, which is put on your utility bills. So the city is somewhat dependent upon the district for what those charges are, and we cannot change or affect those. Next slide. These are the proposed wastewater rates going forward. As before, we have the light blue representing the current rates that are in place. And then as we move across, we follow a financial plan that increases those rates. And so you can see there's really no changes here necessarily as far as the rate structure goes. However, they do increase as they move forward to supply additional revenue to the city. Next slide. So the impact then for our wastewater customers, the average single family residential customer using 1900 cubic feet can because the wastewater is dependent upon the water sales. This shows that the increase is $1.39 every 2 months or about 70 cents a month going forward. And you can see most of that cost is the treatment charge from the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Next slide, please. Just as in the water, we have the wastewater survey. Additionally, this shows since you haven't raised rates since 2009, even with this increase, you're still next to the lowest of the cities that we've been surveying for the rate study. So this is a kind of a short abbreviated presentation tonight. We did the detail before. So at this point, I think we have one more slide, Nicole, for the timeline. Let's present that. So tonight we have that final presentation, assuming that the city council moves forward with the rates, we would then mail out Proposition 218 notices no later than January 22nd. Then we would have the public hearing on March 8th of this year, and rates would become effective this April 19th. So at that point, let me open it up for questions.
Sorry. I didn't realize I was unmuted. I was trying to find a way to unmute. Let's go ahead and check in with the council and see if they have questions. Thank you so much for the detailed but abbreviated presentation. Councilmember Storton, any questions?
I just wanted to clarify with staff, and I think it was mentioned in our staff report, that the recommendation is not to move forward with drought rates. And I just wanted to make sure that that was discussed.
Great question, Councilmember Shorten. That is correct.
Okay. That's all the question. My only question. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Paulding?
Thank you, Mayor. I don't have any questions for today. I think we got most of my questions answered at the last hearing, but I do appreciate all the work and the abbreviated presentation. Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you.
Councilmember Barnage?
I have no questions, being that we've gone over this before. So thank you for the staff report.
And Mayor Pro Tem George?
Thank you, Clayton, for the report. I have no questions. I appreciate the breakdown with and without Central Coast Blue. I have no questions, though.
And I was going to say the same thing about the breakdown with and without, because in the original staff report, that wasn't, it was just the with. So I think that the community will see what a bargain that is, and it will hopefully only get better from there. So with that, let's go ahead and open up public comment. I'll turn that over to AGP.
Thank you so much. Anybody would like to speak to public comment, please raise your hand. And if you are on phone, it would be a *9. Madam Mayor, it doesn't appear that we have any public comment. The floor is yours.
Thank you. City Clerk Mattson, any written correspondence received on item 10A?
We have none.
All right, so let's close public comment and bring this back around to the council. Councilmember Barnage, do you have comments to make?
I don't have any additional comments from what the comments I made, but I think that Clayton gave a good presentation as he did last time and summarized it, and I'm ready to move forward with staff's recommendation.
Thank you. Councilmember Storton, any comments?
Real quick, I do. Thank you, everybody, for the work that's been done on this. It's taken some time for us to get here, so appreciate all of the work. I agree that we should move forward without drought rates at this time and revisit this survey as we move forward for potential grant opportunities with CCB, and certainly understanding the drought picture, and maybe rates will change based upon those items. And just appreciate the management over the years that have allowed us to stay on the low end of our county partners with our fees. So thank you. Those are my comments, and I'll be supporting this.
Thank you. Councilmember Pauldy.
Thank you, Mayor. I too support staff's recommendation. Those are all my comments. Thank you.
And Mayor Pro Tem George?
I'm also ready to move forward. Thank you.
And I appreciate Councilmember Storton's comments. I would add to the public, just kind of for the record, that that's the max rate increase, and that it remains to be seen how much we will, whether or not we'll need to go to that max based on funding that we might get through grants for Central Coast Blue. So I'm happy to know, to be able to say that hopefully it won't even go as high as this. So with that, would somebody like to make a motion?
Sure. I will move a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande adopting City of Arroyo Grande water and wastewater rate study, directing staff to issue Proposition 218 notifications, and directing staff to schedule a public hearing on March 8th, 2022 to consider amending the water and wastewater rate schedules.
I'll second that.
Do we have any discussion? Okay, City Clerk Mattson, can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Storton?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes. Now that takes us to item 11. This is new business. Item 11A is the consideration and adoption of diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice policy. Now I'll turn it over to City Manager McDonald.
Thank you very much. I have a brief presentation sort of summarizing what we're proposing here for this new policy. Hopefully everybody can see this okay. Okay, so just a little background. Our city has a stated mission to make Arroyo Grande the best place possible for everyone who lives, works, and visits here. And as part of this mission, I believe really valuing the diversity of our community has been a feature and a part of the work that we undertake. However, to date, we haven't adopted a specific policy stating that intent and commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And really, after the events of 2020, following the death and murder of George Floyd and the concerns being raised by Black Lives Matter and other groups, both locally and nationally, it really kind of helped not just our city, but a lot of organizations take another look at the policies that we have in place to make sure that that value in diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice is really stated at the forefront and made not just, you know, internally known or known in spirit, but also stated in adopted policies and statements, as well as carried out throughout the organization. And so back in September of 2020, our council adopted a list of 10 top 10 priorities for fiscal year 2020 to 21. It included a priority to continue stabilizing and strengthening the organization through recruitment, retention, and structural adjustments, including development and implementation of a council-adopted goal to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. There were some subcategories under this priority, kind of laying out the ways that we wanted to undertake this work, and those included presenting a proposed policy to council supporting diversity, equity, and inclusion, with a target of winter 2020/2021, as well as implementing diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in the areas of hiring, retention, and community engagement. Now, obviously, we didn't quite meet the mark of winter 2020/21. We missed that by about a year. However, we did start working on a policy pretty quickly. And over the better part of the last year, a team of staff researched and put together a draft, looked at it several times, kind of as an iterative process, paying very close attention to language and intent and doing research around best practices and other policies that exist throughout the country and in other areas. Really looking at what have others done in this area and what do we think is not only best practice according to research and recommendations by experts, but also what do we mean here within the city of Rio Grande for a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy. So a proposed policy was developed and added justice as an additional item. To be fully transparent, justice came about as an additional principle and practice for inclusion in the policy because we noticed some organizations were changing what is sometimes phrased as DEI, or for the acronym Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. J was added and the acronym became JEDI, which is can stick in folks' mind because of, you know, other types of JEDI influences. And it allowed us to really bring justice top of mind as well as one of those principles that we wanted to include. You'll notice that the policy itself reorders the acronym really just to make it clear that these are very sincere and important and serious issues for our city to be addressing and committed towards. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't, hitching our wagon to something that might minimize that. So the proposed policy that's being presented this evening includes a statement of purpose. And in general, just wanted to highlight some of the background and overall purpose and intent of the policy is really to state the city's commitment to the principles and practices that support diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. In addition, the policy is intended to acknowledge that there are challenges and opportunities related to our community members' race, religion, gender, ethnicity, language, age, sexual orientation, and gender identity, socioeconomic background, and diverse abilities, to really make it clear that we see those, we acknowledge them, and we're here to be part of that and help address any inequities that might result. In addition, the proposed policy sets forth specific measures that the city intends to implement to support diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice for the community as a whole, as well as for our city leaders and staff. There are some specific definitions included for the terms diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice, because as part of this work and in the development of this policy, we know that language matters a lot. It has an impact. The words we choose to use impact our community and impact our staff and our leaders. So we paid very close attention to what we meant by diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. And as part of that, the purpose statement includes a recognition that inclusion and equity do not seek to treat everyone the same, but recognizes that everyone is different and that there are strengths inherent in those differences and people's needs are met in different ways. And again, this sort of just frames the policy and the statement of intent behind the policy. In addition, the policy includes a total of 27 implementation measures. They are broken down into overall categories that are listed here, beginning with an intent to provide informed, authentic leadership that supports diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. Also promoting diversity and inclusion in the workplace, because the city is also a workplace and an organization that supports its employees, and to also promote inclusive outreach to diverse communities. And again, there are a total of 27 measures that are providing more detail under each of these categories. And I wanted to highlight that one of the measures included under that first category, under authentic leadership, includes a commitment to keeping current on best practices that take place in other cities and governmental jurisdictions and partnering with other cities and sharing information and efforts. And I just wanted to highlight that this policy is really predicated on the idea that we are committed to undertaking this work on an ongoing basis, because part of it requires us to do research and inform ourselves of the issues that our diverse community members face and how we can help in overcoming anything that any sense of inequity or lack of inclusion or injustice. And so it really is incumbent on us as leaders in the city and also as the city as a workplace to make sure that we are keeping up abreast of best practices and doing that research and allowing this policy to be essentially a living document, but also a statement of intent that we are committed to that work. And finally, I just wanted to highlight some next steps, because the policy states a lot of intent and a lot of measures that we mean to put in place and carry forward. But what does that mean for us going forward, both really on an immediate, medium-term, and long-term basis? So I wanted to highlight a few next steps that we are planning to undertake as city staff. And really, because the policy includes a number of different implementation measures, 27 of them to be exact, we know we need to undertake a process to identify which of these do we intend to put into place immediately, which ones really are medium-term or longer-term measures that we're going to need to work toward. And additionally, which of these apply to city staff and which of them might apply to our elected or appointed representatives. Another next step after that point is to go ahead and implement those immediate measures and then develop a plan to implement the medium long-term measures. And I just wanted to provide some examples of what I think are immediate measures identified in our policy here. And not just the measures themselves, but what do we need to do in order to make this policy actually live and breathe and have effect? One of the first steps after kind of identifying which ones go into we tackle immediately versus medium term and long term is to present the policy to our own city staff and provide training and discussion opportunities around the policy and what its intent is and what our expectations are of our staff and carrying it out. I think that process in and of itself is going to provide a lot of opportunities for us to really talk about what do we mean by diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice for our community, for our organization, and for our individual employees. And why are we talking about this? And why is it a goal and a major policy of ours as an organization? We also intend to implement some of the measures that apply to our workplace immediately through our recruitment practices and through identifying and carrying out training opportunities. The recruitment practices, we have begun implementing some of these measures already by really looking very closely at the materials that we publish about opportunities in our organization for recruitment. We're very careful about the language we use and making sure that we are representing our community well, representing our workplace well, and making sure that everyone feels open and included in the targeted applicants, regardless of their background. And additionally, we will look to incorporate outreach measures when we undertake development of new city policies and plans. I provided an example of our anticipated general plan update. That's a process that is an example of when we'll be able to take this subsection C, which promotes inclusive outreach to diverse communities, and be able to put those practices into place as we go about the work of formulating a new general plan. And that's just one example. And then a couple of other kind of more detailed examples would include moving forward with making sure our website is, it may be translated easily by including a translate button on the website. And also looking at other translation services that we might be able to incorporate into our services and meetings moving forward. And so just wanted to provide some of those examples. So finally, with that, it is our staff's recommendation that our council consider and adopt a resolution approving the proposed diversity, equity, and inclusion and justice policy. I will go ahead and stop sharing. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's check in with council and see if anyone has questions. Councilmember Paulding, would you like to kick us off?
Yeah, one question, and I apologize for not asking this before the meeting, but I have noticed that we've actually made some progress. For example, hiring the first Native American HR director, a Latino police chief. These are kind of milestones that are important to us as leaders in the community. Have you been kind of inventorying these things? Obviously, you've, as our city manager, have been carrying out the guidance that we gave a year ago or whatever, even though we don't have the policy. Any comments on that?
I thank you for that question. I think that the work we have done in some of those places, and I think not just those positions, but also recognizing the diversity that we already have in our staff as well, including within our police department. And I think the fact that we, as we go about recruitment, trying to do that in a way that is really encouraging and also honestly enjoying the fact that our applicant pool is diverse and that in that way more accurately reflects our own population. And so it's very exciting, and we've really reaped many benefits from that process. So I appreciate the recognition that that the work we have done already is really adding a lot of value to our organization in providing greater diversity of backgrounds as well as more reflection of our community.
Well, keep up the good work. Thank you. Those are all my questions, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Barnage, any questions?
Maybe one or two, Whitney. As far as some of the next steps that you talk about, how, I guess I should have asked this ahead of time, So I apologize. I'm just thinking of it now. I know that it is one of council's goals, the policy that we put together, but I also know that this probably took a lot of work to put together. And so thinking about moving forward and trying to implement some of it, my question would be, how much does staff have time to implement, to dedicate to this, to some of the next steps? And if there, my second question would be, if we hired someone to kind of go through everything, the general plan, the Muni code, our events that we host, all of that, and look at it with a very trained eye, which I don't think we necessarily always have, us, because we're not working in it all the time. How much do we think something like that might cost? And if you think that would be prudent due to staff's limited large workload already.
Thank you. Yes. So I think many of these items are and measures are helping us kind of fix and focus on our stated intent. So if the intent is to increase or support diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice, then these are measures that are going to help us do that. And the policy itself will help staff really focus on that when we go about making decisions. And again, the decision can be as small as, you know, what words do I use in this job description or job bulletin, or what words do I use in an email to somebody, or who do I include in a list of groups to seek outreach and input from on an item. So I think we will be able to do that on an ongoing basis moving forward. And the process of bringing this policy to our staff, highlighting it, talking through what it means and how we go about implementing it is going to be a lot of the work. But there are items that may take additional resources. And one example might be Measure A2 has us seek to acknowledge and dismantle inequities within the city's policies, systems, programs, and services, including continual review and updates to support ongoing process. And to me, that sounds like a review of our policies. And I would love, there are a lot of policies that we need to review, and we haven't gotten to them in a number of different ways because of just constraints on our time and resources. Having somebody hiring a professional to come do that is an option. I think that would obviously get the work done quicker, and it would enable an expert to come in and provide that eye on our policies themselves, and also our systems and programs that we might have in place already. That's something I'm not sure about a cost associated with that, but that's something that we could look at and bring forward. I think when we go about the next goal setting process with council, that might be a good time to look at if taking that next step of bringing somebody in help us with this work is something we want to look at prioritizing for the upcoming year. We would need to look at budgeting for that as well as our work plans. So it kind of depends on what we mean by it. It depends on the specific measure that we're looking at, but I think a number of them we will work on ourselves, and that's honestly a lot of the work itself. So what I mean is the policy states an intent that we're going to continually work at this as an organization, and honestly, individually and very personally for each of us, to look at what does it mean to value and promote diversity, equity, and inclusion and justice for our community and our staff and all of those that we come in contact with. It's a process, and it takes time, and it's not easy. And so it's gonna go through a number of iterations, but some of the things like updating policies, on the other hand, that's something that I think we could look at in the future, getting some support from an outside consultant.
Okay, and then just one other question. I had reached out to a member of the community that has emailed the council before about diversity and inclusion, and I got her input. I had that input rather late. I forwarded it to my city email. I am going to forward that to staff, and then you can forward it to the council because I want that to be entered into the record. And she had some good ideas. She might speak tonight. I'm not sure if she's going to be able to make it. But she had a couple of good ideas, but because I didn't get it in time to be able to talk to staff about her ideas. So if I forward that to you this, today or tomorrow, Whitney, are we going to have another discussion where we can talk about those ideas that she put forth in that email, or when would we be able to discuss that further, I guess?
I think it depends on the nature of the ideas. So if they are requesting changes or recommending changes to the policy itself, we would want to.
Maybe I can forward that to, let me think about this. Can I forward that to Jessica and she can read that into the record during public comment? Or is that not how that's supposed to work?
I think that's probably okay. Yeah. And I think, so the other part is if they are requests or recommendations for how we carry the policy out, we can certainly, when we certainly will take that in and kind of put it into the process with our list of which of these are immediate, medium, and long-term. And when we do the discussion of priorities, if it's a council priority to go ahead and implement a measure, we can certainly bring forward, well, let's consider implementing it in this way because this is a request we received from the public and we'd like to move forward with that. So it really depends. If it's a issue with the policy itself, we should deal with that before the policy is adopted. Otherwise, okay, we would need to come back and with a revision,
yeah,
which so we can do, but
right. Kristen, as a matter of process, why don't you get it to publiccomment@arroyogrande.org?
Okay, I just forwarded it to Whitney and Jessica. Do you want me to forward it to that other address as well?
Well, I'm saying that because typically if we receive something after 4 p.m., it will get read into the record. So I would just kind of steer it through that channel because that's how we typically handle public comment that's come in after 4 o'clock. And then we can certainly do that tonight when we go to public comment.
publiccomment@arroyogrande.org.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Storton.
I just have one question. When we talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice, certainly we have to have that perspective from people who may be experiencing concerns in those areas. Can you talk a little more in detail about the outreach that staff did to understand some of the issues that we're dealing with?
Sure. So we, as a team, and we had a number of staff members in the group, and that was by design as well, because we wanted more minds in there and more experiences and perspectives as well. We started by doing quite a bit of research into what is available, what have others done, and what are, how should these terms be defined and used moving forward. So we did a lot of work on that level and then looked again very closely at each of the words that are in this proposed policy. We also sent a draft of the policy to members of our local Race Matters group. We've worked with them pretty closely on a few initiatives over the past year and a half, and they reviewed it and provided some feedback, and we incorporated their recommendations into the policy as well. And then we had an opportunity for a couple of different people who work in the area of diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and initiatives to take a quick look at our draft to make sure that it wasn't, missing something blatant or off the mark significantly, and received feedback as well, and which we incorporated too. So we tried in a number of different ways to get different feedback to make sure that we were on the right course. And from there decided to go ahead and bring it forward this evening for council.
Okay. And then in regards to this policy, I actually see it as kind of a living, breathing document almost that can change pretty easily as time goes by. Some policies tend to just sit and age. I see this as a policy that might even be reintroduced yearly to council if we feel like significant things come forward that need changing. Do you see something similar?
I think that's a really good point, and it's certainly something we could do. And it, because it's adopted by resolution, it's not an ordinance. It's honestly a little unique because the city has a number of administrative policies that we internally review and issue. This one functions a little differently because it's adopted by council, even though there's not a law requirement that it be adopted that way. We just wanted it, and it was really council direction to bring a policy forward for you all to consider, because it's more public and it provides that statement of intent out there for everyone to see, keeps us all accountable, and make sure that we do get anyone who would like to be engaged in the development or review or commenting on it. It could certainly be brought forward and amended fairly easily because we put it on an agenda with a resolution and a revision.
Okay, thank you for the work that was put into this. Those are all my questions.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem George, any questions?
Thank you, Mayor. I just had one. Whitney, we had discussed this earlier, and it was in regards to measured outcomes. And I appreciate your next step slides where you talk about immediate work and then medium and long term. So I understand the need to not necessarily have measured outcomes right now, but how do we ensure that, like you're talking about, that accountability if we don't have measured outcomes? And when would you see a good time for us to start establishing some benchmarks so that we have a way to track and know that, and not just our current staff, but future staff maintain and value the same policy that we're trying to put into place right now?
Right. So we did look kind of carefully at what we were committing ourselves to do here, because we wanted to make sure that the measures in here are achievable and that they're not just a bunch of platitudes, and they really are an intent to move forward with items. I think coming up with benchmarks and measurements requires work to establish what those are to begin with, because that in and of itself, I think, is an area that would require research and an understanding of, well, what does it mean for us to succeed in these ways? At the same time, not wanting to commit ourselves to a point where we're out of the gate, not likely to succeed because we don't currently have that level of engagement with a consultant or, you know, internal staff expertise to be able to develop those benchmarks. So I think that could be something we would need to look at, bringing somebody in to help advise us on what does that mean? Are we looking to have our staff represent our population by a certain date, by percentages? I mean, that's probably more detailed than necessary, but it could involve making sure that, you know, when we say we're going to diversify our outreach efforts, well, what does that mean? Who are we trying to target? And you'll see in one of the measures, it acknowledges that we need to first identify the groups who we need to conduct more outreach to. That in and of itself is a step within a step. So that's just some examples of what I think are inherently sort of part of maybe a benchmark. Is first we need to identify who we need to outreach more often or frequently. And then the next step is to actually conduct the outreach and then take feedback into account and bring that forward along with a recommendation. But there, we haven't identified specific dates and timelines, partly because just trying to be realistic and then taking into consideration the sort of living, breathing nature of the work that we're setting out here. It takes time to talk through what these terms mean and what they mean to us individually and as an organization, and then implement them over a period of time.
Thank you for that answer. And I do appreciate that, because as sincere as our efforts are, we don't want to rush to put something out just to say that we did it. And I appreciate that thoughtfulness, which leads me to my comments later. But the identifying our needs and identifying our groups, we're talking that's more medium to long term then, right? Because we would need to put some type of a plan into place in order to accomplish that. Is that correct?
I think the identification is probably more a medium term, because we're looking at longer term actually doing the outreach with those groups and incorporating more feedback. But the in terms of a plan, I guess it maybe depends on what we mean by a plan, because internally as staff, we can look at the policy and identify these are the measures that we know we can and will implement right away. And these are the measures that we need to do some more work around before we can really kind of say we're moving toward. It's also, I think, and that may be a plan as opposed to a plan that has a specific timeline to it. But I think that the process, and it just sort of speaks to, it's difficult to identify those benchmarks and milestones with this work, because that the process itself is the work. You know, it's the process itself of understanding what it means to support diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice is really where the movement happens. And so how do we say we've achieved anything? And then the other part of it too is there's always more room for growth. We're never going to be able, you know, maybe, but, you know, are we going to be able to say solved it, done? Like, I don't think so. And I think we know we need to keep working toward that. And acknowledge, that's really one of the intentions behind the policy is really to acknowledge that, yeah, this is going to be an ongoing process and we are committed to it.
And I appreciate that. And the ongoing process works best if it's always top of mind. When I'm looking at our measures, it's just, and I think I told you this earlier, there are a lot of verbs. And those verbs are great because those verbs are action items. I just know that committing time and resources is an action item that we as a city sometimes struggle with, because we have so many action items for every aspect of our city that we're trying to maintain. So I wanted to know if there was a way, and I appreciate that response. And those are my only questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have only comments. So let's go ahead and open up public comment. So AGP, can you administer that for us, please?
I certainly can. Anybody would like to speak to public comment, please raise their hand. Madam Mayor, I don't see any raised hands.
Thank you. And City Clerk Mattson, we do know that we have some written correspondence received. Were you able to get a hold of that?
I was, and I will read that right now. So our written correspondence is from Jamie Fordyce, and it reads, "Hi, Kristen, thank you for your email. I was able to read the policy. I have a lot of gratitude towards those who worked on this, and I'm really excited for the positive impact it will have on our community. I also really appreciate that it was shared with local social justice groups for their input and thoughts. Any DEI policy and work requires collaboration, and I thank the city for leading by example. This is important work, and I'm so proud of the city for getting here. I do have a few ideas as far as implementation. I believe it would be incredibly useful to establish a DEI advisory council, a youth advisory council, and a monthly recognition of DEIJ champions in our community. Highlighting local champions can give recognition where it is due, celebrate diversity, build momentum for others to join and learn, and help others conceptualize what people and businesses in our community are doing to champion DEIJ work. Maybe there could be a certificate of recognition and or a decal they can place on their storefront or website. Also, I believe involving the youth of our community is imperative. Their input and participation in DEIJ efforts is essential, and they are natural leaders in this work. I've seen it at every school I've worked at. It will not only enrich their civic and personal experiences here in AG, it will empower them in their global personhood as well. Thank you for sending this over to me. I will try to log on to the meeting tonight. I have never not done a public comment without 2 5-year-olds hanging on me, so I wouldn't want to mess up my streak now. Jamie. And that is the only written comment.
Thank you. So I'll go ahead and close public comment and bring this back around to the council for commentary and possible action. Let's start with Councilmember Storton.
Thank you very much. I actually have several comments. I was really kind of inspired by this policy and where we got today, and a lot of work was done to create this. I actually feel as a leader in this community, this is probably one of the most important policies that I've ever had to address. You know, we take care of a lot of basic needs in our community, but this is something that is incredibly wonderful to be a part of. There was a day, if you were in a wheelchair, you couldn't have access to certain services and needs. There was a day, if you were a person of color, you weren't able to go into certain establishments and you were denied services. There was a day, particularly in this city, where you wouldn't see 3 women on the city council, let alone one of them being a mayor. There was also a day where your choice of sexual orientation and gender identity would cause you people to shun you. You'd be denied basic rights and services and dignities that we all should be available to. Unfortunately, there are still too many people that are experiencing these days, and it's actually too bad that we have to sit here and create a policy like this, but I'm glad that we are. As a government and as a community, and particularly as individuals, we have to model examples that we want, and the fair respect and equitable treatment of others is imperative, and we must practice it. And we have to create policy around it, and then we have to practice it more. It's just, it's a natural human kindness that we need to respect the dignity of ourselves and the people that live around us. And it's this diversity and uniqueness that we all have to offer, which makes us special. And this is really the recipe that brings us together. It was kind of ironic that as I was reading our staff report, I came across an article that I was reading, and it had to do with what people can do to save democracy. But if you can just bear with me for a little bit, there were several suggestions in this article, what we could do. And it said getting involved and engaging in your local community was a great starting point. And that's what we do here. And we encourage other people to get involved at the local level. It talked about voting and protesting civilly and connecting with others. It talked about staying informed, not generalizing and accepting facts. And it talked about if you see guardians of democracy under attack, like elected officials, poll workers, school board members, if they're under attack, we need to support them. And the article quoted a former Republican governor of Ohio, and I thought it was really compared well with what we're talking about now. And so I'm going to share that. It was from John Kasich, who was the former governor of Ohio. And he said, the most important thing we can do as individuals is to recognize the intrinsic value of all other people, even people we don't like, people we don't agree with, people we fight with, maybe even some people that we get angry with, we insult them. Until we all begin to recognize the intrinsic value of all human beings, we're going to continue to erode and have danger in our culture and in the strength of our country. That was the end of the quote, but I just can't think of a more important time in my life where I feel like this policy is more important than ever. The fact that we're taking the time to write it down and practice it moving forward. As far as staff, I know we have, we're thin on resources. I think right now doing the tangible things, the doable items, and with a future discussion of probably or possibly bringing in professional help if we need it. And certainly maybe we can talk about that during budget times. I do think this is an evolving, growing document. I'd love it as one of those documents that's actually posted and readily available for our citizens who can read it, review it, and send us comments and things that we may address at a later time, whether we review it every year or whatever that would look like. And I really love Amy's idea of a DEIJ advisory council. I didn't really think about that, but what a great way to get a group of people together to get feedback provided to the city, and maybe that group has a sub youth advisory council. Just a thought. I like the ideas, but I really do appreciate all the work that's been spent in putting this together. And I think it's extremely important and probably one of the most meaningful acts that I feel like I've been involved in. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's see, I wanted to thank staff because I think a lot of work did go into this, I'm excited that it's finally before us and the public, and that we can, we're just acknowledging that there are issues in our community and in the world, and that we're recognizing those, and so I think it's really important first step. You know, I was just in New York City over Christmas, and it was hard to describe how diverse that city is. And I know big cities are way more diverse than some of the, you know, the Central Coast, for example. And so I was trying to think about what it was, just there were so many adjectives to describe being around all those different people, different colors, different dialects, different colors, different sexual orientations. It was so refreshing, exhilarating, exciting, and because it was just not something that I'm particularly used to living on the Central Coast. And so I think that the work that we're doing here is huge, and I would really hope that moving forward, this will be something that's not just on the shelf. And I think that sometimes we put together these plans that sound really great in theory, and we run out of time. There's other things that pop up, but I hope, because this is one of council's goals, that we really keep this at the forefront and we keep kind of coming back to it. And I am absolutely in favor of, during budget time, trying to hire a professional, because I think they'll be able to come in with their eye and be able to see what other changes we can make throughout all of our language. And if they are going to other cities and looking through other documents as well, maybe they will have lots of different ideas that we would never think of. So I definitely think this is a good start, but we do need to hire a professional maybe the beginning of budget time or this year during the budget. And then as far as Jamie's comments, I really appreciate those. I didn't really have a lot of time to digest them because I received those so late. But I do think that her ideas about the youth being involved and an advisory council, if we could get people to sit on that, you know, volunteers that are passionate about this, and especially maybe even Jamie, because she's put some great ideas forward. I think that if people are interested in being involved, then let's get them involved. So I am hopeful that we can put some of this, we can actually make good on some of these things that we're talking about in this policy. And I look forward to continued discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Paulding.
Thank you. I really appreciate all the work that staff did to prepare this policy. It's very comprehensive. I'm impressed. I like that we went over and above too and added the definition of justice. And for those that are watching the meeting tonight, I want to read the very short but powerful definition. Justice refers to the practice of directly dismantling barriers to resources and opportunities in society so that all individuals and communities can live a full and dignified life. And I love that this council in our city is making this a priority. It's really neat to see. I want to also acknowledge that I think we have seen our city leadership team already implementing some of these goals, as I mentioned earlier in my questions. And I've been impressed by that and want to continue to see that. I think the most important part of this process is the outreach. I like the idea of Ms. Fordyce, a member of the public, regarding advisory councils. I do want to be sensitive to staff resources in that regard, and the fact that in times past, we actually had to limit the number of advisory councils we had because of the fact they were either underutilized or were basically taking too much time. Not saying that this would be one of those at all. The area I want to see the most outreach is when we go through our general planning process. How do we engage in that process by, you know, prioritizing the outreach to organizations like Race Matters or the Diversity Coalition, and ensure that the policies that we continue to make as a city reflect these goals and objectives? And I really like Councilmember George's comments or comment about benchmarks. I know that that's difficult to set right now, and as our city manager mentioned, it's hard to quantify in the first place. But I think as staff really kind of goes to work on this policy, it would be nice to see some specific intangible goals as outcomes of that process. And I would also be open to hiring a consultant in the future to kind of review our policies and procedures, but would like to do that when we talk about our top 10 priorities as a city, to make sure that we have the financial resources and staff availability to do that. But overall, really impressed with the work product, really proud of our city that we're having this conversation and making this a priority. Those are all my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem George.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you to my fellow council members. You always inspire me with your comments, and I think especially tonight, your comments were very poignant. This is a very important policy for me, and I'm so grateful that we are able to have this discussion and to see it come to fruition. I know that City Manager McDonald said that it was supposed to come before us last year, winter of 2021, but the wait was worth it. And I want to thank our staff for putting in the hard work and for being so thorough and very sensitive to the work that you did in order to bring this policy to us in a manner that is easy to digest, easy to understand, and most importantly, easy to share. I appreciate our council so much for setting forth this effort and for making this a priority and acknowledging that this policy was needed. Moving forward, I appreciated the next steps slides. For me, it's always when we come up with something like this, how do we keep it at the forefront of our minds? And so it becomes a living, breathing, active policy that just becomes second nature to who we are and how we think and how we work and how we conduct business and how we interact with each other, as opposed to just words on a paper that gets filed and we move on to the next thing. So, I think it starts with the individual leaders. It starts with us, the council, the mayor, our executive team on staff. And we together, if we can understand what our population is, who they are, how they live, how they breathe, how we can serve them, then as a collective, we can take all that knowledge and percolate it down to the rest of our staff and then into our community, so that this effort is something that just becomes a part of Aurora Grande and who we are. We as a community, as a city, as a society, we all have different stories and we all have shared learning. And in order for us to take all of that data and all of that individuality and put it into something that really can set forth true action is more than I think that our staff has the time and capability of doing. So I would very much be in favor of when our council revisits our priorities to consider keeping DEIJ as a priority and possibly advocating some financial dollars towards it and bringing in an expert to help us. And I don't think it has to be a lot of money. I just sat in on a 2-hour interview process where we interviewed a consultant for another organization, and the dollars weren't that much for what they were able to offer. And one of the things that I think we just, the reason why this is such a crucial step for us is in order for us to be a society that accepts differences and values differences, we have to have empathy, and we have to understand that where we come from is different from where someone else comes from. And I think that that empathy will make us better leaders and will hopefully create more policy like this one that will get us to where we need to be. I am so, so beyond grateful that we are here today talking about this, and I look forward to future conversations.
We have such an eloquent council, don't we? I'm going to take some ribbon and tie a bow around a lot of this. So please give me just a little bit of latitude, because like the rest of you, this is very near and dear to me. And it sounds a little odd coming from a white woman of privilege sitting here, but I want to kind of put a little context into why what we're doing is so meaningful. When we do policy and legislation like this, it literally changes the world. And as an example, I made the choice to follow an athletic path of water polo through my collegiate years when that wasn't available to women. And the reason I was allowed to play is because the legislature had the foresight to put Title IX into place, to start getting women to be able to get into things they couldn't get into before. And I benefited directly from Title IX, and getting to play collegiate sports made me who I am, quite literally. And I look at, now carry that forward, here I am sitting here as only the second female elected mayor in over 110 years in Arroyo Grande. And that comes directly out of Title IX that gave me the confidence to be able to do something like this. So while it seems like these may be, as City Manager McDonald was suggesting, we don't want these to be platitudes. They're not platitudes. But when they put these things in writing, it affects lives very dramatically and very realistically. And we literally, through policy like this, change the world. And so I believe so strongly in that, even though it may seem symbolic. I also want to kind of put a little history to this too, because I appreciate that Ms. Fordyce talked about having an advisory council. We did this, and we do have an advisory council. I want to remind everyone that out of the ashes, literally the ashes of a cross-burning incident, this city set forth to create the Diversity Coalition, and that has grown into its 10th year. And the Diversity Coalition has expanded itself to be Diversity Coalition SLO, or San Luis Obispo. And they are doing this fine work. And so we do have that body that can advise us, that has engaged us. We have Race Matters. So these are things that are already in place. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we do have to make sure that we set policies in place that not only encourage, but require us through city policy to reach out to these bodies to advise us. And as an example of that, again, pulling the history forward, during a very tumultuous spring of 2020, when our entire nation was in upheaval and the Black Lives Matter protests were happening, we had issues right here in San Luis Obispo County. And in the midst of that, we were hiring a police chief. And we didn't wait to get a policy into place. Our acting city managers reached out to these advisory councils that we already have in place to help us and make sure that we were getting good advice and living this ideal of even without a policy, of making sure that we had the diversity, equity, and inclusion hook. I don't know what the right words are. And we were commended by the newspaper as we went through that process in hiring Chief Martinez. And we have carried that forward even without policy. And so we've been walking this walk for a decade. And now the council, this council, I'm so proud of us and the people who are sitting here and making this not only something that we just do through our actions, but making it, highlighting it as a top 10 goal. And then staff coming forward as a, hey, it's not just a goal. Here's our policy. And now we're giving some direction of, hey, we want to see this in the general plan. We want to see continued engagement. We want to make sure that this is living and breathing. That's how this happens. It happens over the course of decades. It happens through the course of us making sure that we have this in the forefront, that we put things in writing that will inspire a young girl or a young boy that will then take it to the next level 10 or 20 years from now. So with that, I'd love to see if someone would like to make a motion.
I will move a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande adopting a diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice policy.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All right, City Clerk Mattson, can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Thornton?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnett?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
Yes.
Mayor Ray Rasmussen?
Yes. This takes us to item 12, Council Communications. Does anybody have anything that they would like to share this evening?
I have one thing I'd like to share, please. I have been approached every year after 4th of July about our ordinance involving fireworks, and I've been approached again. And it's one of those discussions that I think we need to have again, at least in the next few months. I think particularly since we're dealing with stage one water issues, and I just think we need to revisit the issue. And I was just wondering if any other council member would like to provide consensus on that, to have staff present some ideas moving forward as we look at our fireworks ordinance, whether we continue, whether we don't, whether we have regulations when we have a stage one water emergency, just some ideas to talk about as we move forward.
I would be in support of putting that, of bringing that forward. I've had many a conversation with the fire chief and just kind of going back and forth because we do get the emails and every year we talk about it and it always seems like it's too late. So I appreciate Keith, you bringing it up now in January. So I would be happy to back you up on that.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to share? I have a few things to share with the council. So forgive me, I'm going to navigate to my email because I've had some things sitting in there that I wanted to bring to your attention. First of all, I'm sure you already know, but just making sure that we circle back, at least for the community, we kind of put a process into fast forward in order to get the Strother Park resurfacing rolling quickly. And unfortunately, Mother Nature stood right in the way of that. And we got inundated with rain during the window with which it could get done. So that has been postponed to spring. There will be a need for volunteers on that. I've asked specifically what jobs they need, but I'll follow up with you on that as it gets closer in the spring. But I just want to let you know that if you get any questions about that, that has been delayed basically because of the weather and the window with which it needed to get done. Also, many of us, I'm sure all of us, received information from the feds on the potential designation of the Chumash, the Northern Chumash Marine Sanctuary, I think is what it's called. At the last mayor's meeting, that came up as a topic, and there were a couple of cities that chose to oppose that, which was a surprise to a lot of us. It seemed kind of a feel-good, easy thing. So I know that we're not going to talk about that because it's not within our jurisdiction, but I am going to send you what Mayor Heading from Morro Bay sent to the mayors, just so that you all have the same information that I do. That if you would like to make a comment on it on your own, that you have both, since we received it from one, I don't want to call it a side, but from one point of view, I want to make sure that you get the other one. And finally, I know that when we talked about ARPA and how we would spend those funds, there was discussion about broadband and that we're really not in a position to be able to access that because that's just so much, doing broadband infrastructure is so much more than we can handle as a city on our own. There is a group called the Broadband Consortium, and they are trying through the tri-counties, Ventura, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo, to get a more regional approach to the acquisition of broadband infrastructure. That is being led by Maria Kelly. She presented to the mayors at the last mayor's meeting, and actually two mayor's meetings ago, and she forwarded us some information, and they're trying to get something started, and they've asked the mayors to perhaps sit on a panel to help advise that. I am uncomfortable doing that because we don't have direction from councils. We haven't involved city managers. So I pushed back a little bit on that, and she sent a little bit more information on it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to forward you that information so that you are abreast of what's happening amongst the three counties to kind of get this rolling. But I think it's best to, I'm not asking for any permission. I don't want to join the committee. I think it's just way, way, way too early. And we need to get the city managers kind of talking about that before it gets to the council level. But I do want to make sure that you're informed as to this group that's beginning to coalesce. So with that, is there anyone else who has anything to discuss? All right, then that takes us to...
Mayor, I'm sorry. In regard to my comment about discussion of fireworks, do I need direction from staff as far as, or do they need direction from us to present that at a later date or get some comments from staff as far as that coming forward to us at a later date? Could we get some feedback on that?
Well, the way our bylaws work, we had a council member and a second, so that gives staff their direction, but perhaps if staff wants to jump in and comment, they can.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm certainly not immediate, but something in the next few months allowing those people who are participants in the process have some say before July 4th actually gets here.
I think we do have what we need, and I understand the timing needs for everyone involved, including our fire authority and as well as those who typically participate. So I appreciate the issue being brought up as early as it has been. So we'll slate it for a future agenda.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other input? Okay. Item 13, closed session. We already had that on the earlier part of our agenda. So item 14 is adjournment. We will look forward to seeing you all in a couple of weeks. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.